So the average cost for a gallon of gas here in Michigan, according to AAA, today is $4.22. The national average is $4.16. So we're hovering right around the national average. Yeah, pretty good. Mm-hmm. But gasoline prices are falling, even as crude prices are rising. Why is that happening? Patrick DeHaan, the head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy.com, joins us. Patrick, good to have you back. Why are they falling as crude's rising?
Well, they actually just went up. Across Michigan, we saw prices going up to $4.39 yesterday afternoon. So a lot of the time that AAA data is a day behind, but that's what happened late yesterday afternoon. So we finally saw a little bit of a jump across Metro Detroit. Prices, average prices are only up about a penny as those numbers are updating in real time. But most stations across Metro Detroit now back at $4.39. So we enjoyed a little bit of a lull there. Prices had come down for 3 weeks on the hope that there'd be a deal between the U.S. and Iran. But prices can only fall so far while oil prices remain, you know, still quite a bit above where they were a few months ago, $90 a barrel this morning. Thankfully, it's still lower than $115 a barrel like it was a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. But some of the refining issues that also pushed prices up considerably in late April and early May, those refining issues have been sorted out as well. So gasoline, even though it's up today to $4.39, that's still quite a bit lower than $4.99 like it was in late April. And diesel prices have come down by over 50 cents a gallon as well since basically late April. So refining issues improved. Oil prices remain relatively low, but a little bit of a jump at the pump after several weeks of declining prices.
Patrick, we continue to see significant price differences across the state. You know, why are drivers in places like, you know, Ann Arbor and here in Metro Detroit paying considerably more than those in Flint or Lansing?
Well, as I mentioned, most states did make that jump up yesterday, but when prices go down so significantly, stations can lower prices either faster or slower, just depending on if they want to be real aggressive. And with prices have been, above normal prices in the last 3 months because of the whole situation, some stations may not be in a hurry to lower prices and fear that prices could go right back up. So whenever you see such a huge decline in the price of oil, it really all comes down to competition, how quickly competitors will start undercutting each other. And that's why when prices do go down, you shouldn't rest on your laurels. That's actually when you have a potentially more likelihood of overpaying by not shopping around for those sub $4 prices that did pop up.
How does OPEC factor into all of this? Are we seeing the ramifications of the UAE leaving OPEC? Does that play a role for us here in the United States?
It probably won't play much of a role until the straits reopen or until that's sorted out. But I mean, that is a pretty big deal that's been masked by what's happened. Now talking about OPEC, the interesting thing here that while the situation, the U.S.-Iran situation has been ongoing 3 months now, the Saudis have been moving record amounts of oil through their east-west pipeline. That's a pipeline that basically has just been sitting mostly idle for years as a backup plan. And that's part of the reason why oil prices likely haven't been impacted to a more significant degree is the Saudis are spending about 7 million barrels a day of oil. They're redirecting it away from the Persian Gulf over to the Red Sea. And that is part of why oil prices haven't gone up more. In addition, China has really reduced imports, not necessarily reduced consumption, but they've cut back on imports. And that's another reason why prices today aren't probably higher than they would have been otherwise.
Summer travel season is underway, Patrick. And if these current conditions hold, where do you see gas prices here in Michigan heading, let's say, by the 4th of July?
Well, it's very troublesome to try and predict this. You probably heard a lot of oil executives. Chevron CEO had said, we could see $150 oil. And they're not necessarily wrong. It's just very difficult to know how all of the events are going to unfold here in the weeks ahead. I still worry that as we are releasing oil from our strategic reserves at record rate, that eventually there will come a time when oil prices slingshot. But I just don't know if that slingshot is going to be, July or if it's going to take until August. But in the backdrop of all of this, the U.S. Strategic Reserve, as we're talking this morning, the data is going to take another few days to show this. But my bet is at some point here in the last 24 hours up to this morning that the Strategic Reserve is now at its lowest level since it was filled up back in 1983. And that in and of itself isn't cause for panic, but it's highlighting the uncertainty over, well, when the releases are over, there's not going to be as much oil on the global market. So it's very difficult to predict where we'll be for July 4. I tend to believe that somewhere between 399 to 499 is where we'll be. Hopefully not above that, but there still is that possibility.
Interesting. Just breaking a couple of minutes ago, according to the New York Times, U.S. exports and services rose 2.6% in April as exports of oil and petroleum products have kicked up too. So how does that play into what we're seeing?
Well, the U.S. is selling more of its oil overseas, and that's putting upward pressure, or generally will put upward pressure on what you and I are paying. Oil companies can sell to the highest bidder, just like when your house is on the market. The goal of selling your house is to whoever is willing to pay the highest offer. And so other countries are trying to buy more U.S. oil to feed their refineries. They're also buying U.S. gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. I'm sure most folks have heard about the jet fuel issues that have been brewing in Europe. Now, most of those have been mitigated by airlines that are trying to increase efficiency. But yeah, the more of our products flow overseas, the more pressure there is on what you and I are paying, simply because it's diverting the product that would be sitting in our supplies, and it's sending them abroad. So there's a double-edged sword here. When the president says, come buy our oil, that does put upward pressure on what we're all paying.
Interesting stuff as always, Patrick Dahan. We appreciate you. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it.
Always good to have the gas prices going down.
No doubt about it. Meanwhile, Apple rolling out a major overhaul of their Siri iOS 27. They unveiled this at their Worldwide Developers Conference. It's one of the biggest upgrades to their voice assistant in years. And this is part of Apple's effort to push into the AI space.
Okay.
Much more AI-driven features. They say Siri is going to be much more useful. It's going to be conversational and integrated into your system.
Okay.
But they expect Siri to better understand context and handle more complex requests.
Oh, you can just have a conversation with your friend Siri.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I was reading a piece in Axios, and they said, hey, this is great. Apple's rolling out the new Siri AI-driven update to their software. Unfortunately, they're 2 years too late. Anthropic and ChatGPT and everybody has already done this.
Jumped on it, yeah, right.
And Apple a little late to the party.
Oh,
all right, that's going to do it for us. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Kevin Dietz and Alltalk coming your way next, right here on WJR.